Welcome. I love to worship God. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and there's no interruptions? There's no Facebook Live that may not scroll properly or anything like that, and it's just going to go on for eternity. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you to your God. Pray that you watch over us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us, that you lead us and guide us in all truth. For you are God, and there is no other. Lord, I ask that whatever is of you, as I speak forth, would pierce our hearts, and anything that's not of you would fall on the floor before us. Father, you are God, and there is no other. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing on this journey, and today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, miracles. God has us on this journey that I think is a time of, as he spoke to us in the past, this is not a time of abandonment. This is a time of preparation for his church, that he is in the process of doing great and mighty things. And he has, though he didn't bring this necessarily, he's using it to build his church and to prepare it for moving forth even today and later. Amen. So there's been kind of like three scriptures that we've been focusing on that to help us understand what it is that God wants his church to be doing today. And the first one is 1 Corinthians 4:15, and I'm reading from the Passion Bible. For although you could have countless babysitters, guides, teachers, instructors in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love. But I'm a true father to you. For I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Second scripture is Acts 2:43, reading out of New Living Translation. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And the third one is 1 Corinthians 12:7 to 11, and this one's out of the ESV. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And the summary of all this, the purpose of all this, is found in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and ESV puts it this way, all for the common good. The New Living Translation puts it this way, so we can help each other and to fit into what God has been doing and what he's been speaking to us overall, going back to 1 Corinthians 4:15, so that we can be good fathers and mothers. Amen? See, what are spiritual gifts? You might ask that question. Well, spiritual gifts is really any ability that we might have that is empowered by Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. It's used to build up people. It's used for the common good, as I said in 1 Corinthians 12:7. I know this is a rather broad definition, but we have to understand there are a ton of gifts that God has blessed us with. That's why everybody is important. That's why everybody is needed. That's why everybody needs to be encouraging each other so that we all walk forward into all that God has for us. Now, these gifts can include such natural things as, forgive me, cleaning the toilet or the bathroom or showing mercy or cutting the grass or taking care of other practical items or serving in various ways or administration or doing the books of the church or whatever it is. Hospitality, reaching out to others, encouraging, Those are all gifts that have given by God and are being led of the Holy Spirit. We tend to play down some of those and go, well, the real gifts you find in 1 Corinthians 12, what I call the nine. But there's many, many more. But we're looking at the nine, but that doesn't mean that they are so much more important than the others, because all gifts are important. And they're all given to all of us in varying degrees, so that we can edify, so that we can encourage, so that we can strengthen, so we can build up one another, build up the church, not only Christian Fellowship of Jeff City, but the church universal, all churches, so they come together. Last time we discussed verse 9b, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And in doing so, we saw that there were 58 scriptures in the Gospels and in Acts that deal with healing. And if you look at those, it comes down to 43 different scriptures, because some of them are replicated in two or three of the Gospels. Now, that doesn't mean there was only 43 different people healed or delivered, because sometimes it's recorded that Jesus healed them all. And he was talking in a few places. He talks about when people are from several different cities. So he healed thousands upon thousands. And then we looked at those and broke them down into that there were 11 different categories or different ways that healings or deliverances occur. And if you want to know more, listen to the message from last week. You can find it on our website or on our Facebook page. Gifts of healing are available to all. You notice it said gifts. It's a plural, okay? It's a plural noun. It's available to everybody. It's not confined to any particular individual. Yeah, there appear to be some people through history, you know, Smith Wigglesworth and others, Amy McPherson? Simple McPherson, I forgot her middle name, thank you. And others, Catherine Kuhlman, an amazing gift of healing. But that doesn't mean those are the only people. Everyone can have resonant in them from time to time the gifts of healing. So when we come across somebody that needs healing, don't call somebody. Pray. Just pray. You may find yourself surprised when you do that. See, we're called to walk forth in the faith that God has given us. And as we talked about 2 weeks ago, sometimes that charismatic faith, that gift of faith, will come upon us, and we'll just know that we know that we know that when we pray for somebody, they're going to get healed. And it doesn't matter what we do or don't do, God's going to intervene. See, however God chooses to do it is right, because he's God. And he doesn't do anything wrong. He always does everything right. We just must understand that we are all called to walk forth in the faith that God has given us. We're all called to walk forth and to take steps of faith and to pray for the sick, to pray for people, to pray for needs, to pray for whatever. And then allow him to do what only he can do. And the more we exercise that, the more we will see amazing things. I believe that. I really do. Because he always does what is right. So today we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 12:10, reading out of the ESV, to another, the working of miracles. This is the third gift of what people will call supernatural gifts, which are gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the gift of miracles. So what are miracles? The word here in 1 Corinthians 12 is dunamis, and that word means achieving and displaying God's amazing power. and we achieve it and receive it because he gives it to us by the Holy Spirit. In the Leonida, which is a theological dictionary, it says a deed manifesting great power with the implication of some supernatural force, a mighty deed. Wayne Grudem, when he talks about it in his book Systematic Theology, says to the effect that it arouses people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself. And the most literal translation of the word dunamis is workings of power. Though in this place, in 1 Corinthians 12, 10, it's actually translated miracles. We need to understand something. There was a great change that occurred as we moved from the Old to the New Covenant, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when miracles happen, and they did happen, they generally were in conjunction with a prominent individual like Moses or Elijah or Elisha. But we see a transition when we move into the New Testament, when Jesus comes on the scene, is that there was a sudden and great increase in miracles. Miracles were very much a part of Jesus' ministry, which spoke to the fact that he was from God. It was just one of the many signs. However, unlike the Old Testament pattern, miracles didn't just happen with Jesus, but he gave that authority to the apostles, to disciples, to those that went out. And you can find those accounts in Matthew 10 and Luke 10 and other places, and ultimately us. See, it's not just about for the folks back in the first century, but it's also about us. It's about what he's given us so that we can go forth and do the things that God has called us to do. See, the apostles and others who preached the gospel often performed miracles that utterly amazed people. And not only did they utterly amaze people, it confirmed the gospel that was being preached to them through signs and wonders, accompanied by signs and wonders. Acts 2:43 in the New Living Translation. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Miracles didn't die when Jesus ascended. Miracles didn't die when the last apostle died. Again, I want to ask the question, the same question I asked last week. Why would Jesus have this amazing gift at his fingertips called miracles and use them in so many ways, and the apostles and the ones he sent out, the 72 and the 12 and all that, that drew people in to hear the gospel that they might be saved, and then not give us that same gift? It doesn't make sense to me. It seems to think that he doesn't give us that, he's asking us to do something that he didn't do. So I think that they're very much part of today, the miracles and healings and all the rest of the nine and everything else. But you might be asking by now, what are miracles? Some examples are Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus in John 11. Peter being used by God to raise Dorcas from the dead in Acts 9. Finding a front row parking during Christmas at the mall. Well, maybe not the Jeff City Mall. Just healing the blind man in John 9. How about Paul being sued by God, used by God to cause Elymas to become blind in Acts 13? How about your mother-in-law finally coming to the place where she agrees that you're good for her daughter or her son? Something natural like Jesus turning water into wine in John 2. Or how about when he fed the 4,000 and the 5,000? How about Elijah causing the rain to cease? How about Moses and the plagues? How about a relationship that has been broken for literally decades, all of a sudden being reunited and healed? How about salvation? All of these are instantaneous. So after looking at all these, I still have to ask the question, what are miracles? I've heard it simply defined like this. A miracle is something that occurs that is impossible to explain by natural causes. Yeah, sort of. But it doesn't really fully define what a miracle is. It really doesn't acknowledge that definition that God brought it about. It really doesn't give glory to God. Another definition I've heard, which doesn't, from my perspective, fully define what miracles are, is that God kind of came on the scene and did something wonderful that man probably can't. Well, again, there's some truth there. But here's the deal. God's always on the scene. He didn't just show up. He's always with us. When we became saved, he inhabits us. He's there. He's always with us. The scriptures say he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always doing something wonderful. As we go through our days, there's tons of things he's doing something wonderful. Every breath, every bite that we eat, every time we turn on electricity and a light turns on, every time we do whatever. There was a thought that crossed my mind, but I'm not going to share that one. He's always doing something wonderful. See, we received the Holy Spirit. My wife is just looking at me. We received the Holy Spirit of salvation, and he's always with us. And as believers, Jesus is always in our heart. See, I might put it this way. If I was going to come up with a definition for miracles, this is what I would say. A miracle is an instantaneous, that's important, and complete act of God that is done in such a manner that gives glory to God while drawing worship to himself and invokes awe and wonder while blessing one or more, all building the kingdom of God for the common good. See, what we talked about last week, healings, they can be instantaneous. But they can take a while. Global School Awakening talks about when you're praying for somebody and have them raise their hand. Are you 80%? Very good. Excellent. It's a good way to pray. But it wasn't instantaneous. But a miracle is always instantaneous. Yes, they can be one and the same, but they might not be. So what are the purpose of miracles? See, the first purpose of a miracle, my fat thumbs here. First purpose of a miracle is to authenticate the gospel. Nicodemus acknowledged that in John 3:2 in the New Living Translation. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus is the gospel. See, when miracles occur, they verify that God is truly at work in a manner that advances the gospel. Saw that with Jesus when he talked with the Samaritan woman at the well. She proclaimed in John 4:29, ESV, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And the fruit of that was, and many of the Samaritans became followers of Jesus. We also see it with others. Peter, when he was healing Aeneas, in Acts 9:33-35, there he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Why wouldn't God give us that gift today? Can you imagine going out in the streets wherever you live and there's some crippled there? And you go over and you lay your hands on them and they get up and walk? Do you think people are going to come in and they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to get saved? I think so. See, how about Peter raising Dorcas from the dead in Acts 9:40 and 42? NLT, turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." The news spread throughout the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And that's continued through the ages with people like Oral Roberts, with Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, Smith Wigglesworth. And it's even continuing today with people like Randy Clark, Mahesh Shavda, Bill Johnson, people out there, and Todd White, and many others, following Jesus as a result of what they saw or what they experienced. I have a couple of friends who were healed, and then they gave their life to the Lord. A second purpose for miracles is to bear witness to the fact that the kingdom of God has come. Matthew 12:28, ESV. "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." See, numerous times Jesus cast out demons, thus releasing people from Satan's grasp. And what happened? They were drawn into the kingdom. They were wooed by Jesus, and they walked into the kingdom of God. And what's really cool, this authority was passed on to his disciples, Matthew 10:7-8. "And proclaim as you go, saying," and this is Jesus telling them what to do, "the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pain, give without pay." He wouldn't tell them to do it if they weren't going to do it. And that authority continues today in the church. We need to just practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it and see what God does. See, I was in a place where I saw a person who was absolutely possessed. And the demons were cast out. And he repented and accepted Jesus as his Savior. Now, the other side of the story, I wasn't in the room because I was a new believer and it was freaking me out so much I left. Because the person was manifesting. I've seen the sick healed. I've prayed for people to be healed. Like I said, I have acquaintances that got healed and then saved. See, all those that follow Jesus have been delivered from many things that are manifested by the unholy three: Satan, our flesh, the world. How about a significant one being sin? Romans 6:7, New Living Translation. "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." Yeah, we still sin. But most of the time, if not all the time, it's because we choose to. Okay? What is it? Martin Luther talks about two types of sin. Intentional, which he says we should grow out of as we walk with the Lord. But the unintentional sin, and he uses a different word that escapes me at this point, they're just going to be with us until we go be with Jesus. But we're free from the power of sin. The third purpose of miracles is to help those that need help. How about the widow that Elijah helped? 1 Kings 17:16, New Living Translation. "There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as Yahweh had promised through Elijah." She had enough to make the bread she needed for her and her child. Jesus loves helping people. He just does. I mean, he's not our butler. He's not our maid. He's not, you know, snap our fingers and there he is. I can't snap fingers. I don't know why. Fat fingers or something. But he wants to bless us. He's a God of blessing. He wants to help us. He wants us to help us to walk through life so we can give him glory, so we can lift his name up, so we can share what God has done with us, give forth good testimonies so that people will come into the kingdom. See, it's just another reason that miracles haven't ceased. The triune God loves helping his people. A fourth purpose of miracles is to remove obstacles that interfere with people's ministries. Obstacles that keep us from walking out everything that God has for us to walk out in our lives. See, miracles provide us the help we need to do what God has for us to do. Again, going back to Jesus, the apostles, the disciples, some of the people I've mentioned here, they would perform miracles, instantaneous, complete incidents, whether it be healing or something else, people being raised from the dead. And the gospel would be preached and people would be saved. Or how about when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? Matthew 8:14-15. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That was part of her ministry. When God had mercy, how about when God had mercy on Epaphroditus in Philippians 2 and healed him? And Paul, you know, talked about how he was so significant to him and ministered to him and helped him. How about planting a church? When we planted a church here in Jeff City, people will tell you there's God has removed many obstacles, some of them positive, some of them more than negative. If the worship team wants to come back up. Fifth purpose of miracles is to bring glory to God. And I think this is most important. Matthew 9:7-8. And he, a paralytic person, rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Again, I just keep driving this point home, but it doesn't say such authority to men until the apostles died. Which in my mind is the ultimate purpose for miracles. That God be glorified. In everything we do, we should glorify God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's blessed us with the houses we have, the food we have, the protection we have. He blesses us with all things good. He blesses with us the ability to pray, to see people healed, to see miracles manifested. In everything we do, every breath we take, we should glorify God for what he has given us. See, this what I'm saying today and what I've said the last 2 weeks, this is why we need these quote-unquote supernatural gifts. It's why we need the gift of charismatic faith. It's why we need the gifts of healing. It's why we need the gift of miracles. It's why we need to go after them. It's why we need to continue to practice them, to just continue to go. You know, I prayed for a woman once that was in a wheelchair in a restaurant. She didn't get out of the wheelchair. But I was blessed. She was too. That somebody cared. So let God bring forth the fruit. But I believe the more we do that, the more we walk in God's faith, and the more we walk out the things that God has called us to walk out, we'll see some amazing things. So I just leave you with this question. What say we go after them? All of them.